not really from a different perspective, but it is from what I believe a thorough perspective. You know, these things that we are looking at, it goes beyond just not having a stone idol that you worship or a hobby or something like that that comes before the Lord. It's not just that, it goes deeper. It goes to the attitude and the purpose of the commandment itself. What is it we're supposed to be accomplishing in obeying this commandment? Today, verse 7, thou shalt not take the Lord, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, when we look at that, we know what that means. There's a lot to it, really, but what it boils down to is using the Lord's name inappropriately. For instance, you know the basic ones in these exclamations that we make, where something will happen, somebody will nail their thumb, or and they'll use the Lord's name along with a curse word, or they'll use the Lord's name as a curse word. That's inappropriate. Personally, you ask me, if a Christian gets in trouble and they use their status as a saved person or a church member to try to get out of that trouble, I think you're taking the Lord's name in vain when you do that. You know, when you're pulled over on the side of the road, well, don't you know I'm the deacon of such and such church? I think you're taking the Lord's name in vain. When you try to, well, I'm a good person, I'm a Christian, but you're 100% guilty of the thing that they said, you're using the Lord's name as a shield, and I think that's inappropriate too. If you've done wrong, you've done wrong. If you did right, you did right. There's no reason to sully God's name in the process. God's name is above any and all other names, high and lifted up. It is to be feared and reverenced and loved. There are laws to protect our names from slander. We see that ever so often. Somebody will insult somebody else, and they'll take that to court and say, how dare you insult my name? How dare you insult my company? See, we lost business because of you. Or I got fired because of you. And they'll take each other to court over that. Why? Because you slandered my name. But yet the name of the Most High, people have no problem abusing and degrading. It's more than a double standard. It's just downright weird and gross. God gives us the charge to protect his name. As Christians, we've been given the unique privilege and responsibility of keeping his name sacred. And that's exactly what we ought to do. We ought to keep the name of the Lord sacred. It ought to be precious to us. Why? Because that's our Heavenly Father. You know, how often do we see when we were younger, when somebody would insult one of our parents, we would become angry, right? I think a teacher told me one time, two kids had gotten into an argument because one kid said something bad about the other kid's mom. He said, oh yeah, when we were kids, we used to say your mother wears combat boots. And we all just kind of sat there and stared at him. Because, of course, you know, in the 90s, we were all used to the idea of a woman wearing combat boots already. But we get upset about those things. You don't make fun of my mom. You don't say bad things about my dad. I'm sure some of us men got into that when we were kids. My dad could beat up your dad. Your dad's this. Your dad's that. All the things that we would do. And why would we do those things? Because we knew it would hurt the other person. And what would we do? We'd stick our necks up and we'd defend our parents. We would defend the names of our friends. We would defend those things. But who is there to defend the name of God? We are. We are. Well, is it my responsibility to say, whoa, hey, it is. And it's a responsibility I know that many of you have done and I've done myself. Hey, can you knock that off? And of course, it's always met with some kind of derision or some kind of you're being a baby. But I don't see it that way. Well, I got to be able to say what I want to say. So you're refusing to think. You're just going to reveal to me your lack of vocabulary. Of course, that's always been my opinion for anybody who's got to swear in every sentence. You really lack the intelligence to form an interesting sentence without a curse word. You know what I mean? It's like somebody who can't cook and they just put hot sauce all over everything. Right? You're really that lame in putting something together. You got to spice it up that way. It's ridiculous. So it is our responsibility to stand up and defend and protect the name of the Lord. Many people would ask, well, what's the big deal? To me, it's a very big deal. He's created all things. He loved me in such a way that he sent his son to die on the cross for my sins. And you better not take his name in vain either. 3 and 1, 1 and 3, that's the Lord's name too. You better not take any of him in vain. I am personally connected to God. He has affected me in a way. I worship him. You will not be insulting his name or using it frivolously. And that's fine. Well, you're just trying to control what other people say. We've all got a threshold for what we won't tolerate, and it's okay to not tolerate people doing that. I'll sit there, I'll go out with my kids, and it never fails. You go someplace that kids should be okay to be in, right? You'll go to where was it? For Gideon's birthday, we took him down to the arcade thing down there at the Bavarian Inn. You know, where you go and you play the games and you get the prizes. Oh, man, I got to tell this story now because I can't tell it with them up here. The boys worked hard to get those tickets. You know how kids love those tickets. Xander got 88 tickets. He was bummed. Now, to put it in perspective, you need like 1,000 tickets to get something cool. He got 88. He played all the video game things. Gideon, he got himself almost a couple hundred. Melody had some help with the game. She had 1,200. But they worked hard to get those together. And we're walking around with the kids, and we're doing things with them. And sure enough, there's some loudmouth, foul-mouth fool cussing and swearing. Now listen, if I took my kids downtown to an art fair or something, I don't, but if I did, and they were cussing and swearing, I would sit there and say, hey, we got to get out of here. But man, if you can't even go to a child's thing, where children should be, behavior should be expected to be good around children, and you can't do it, we got a problem. So would I, as a father, be within my right to sit there and pull this clown aside and say, hey, listen, there's kids in here. You need to be a grown-up. Well, cuss if I want. See, that was fun when we were juniors in high school, when you were the bad boy who could say the dirty words. But you're a grown-up now. Get the beer out of your hand. Have some respect for the situation you're in. Now, we're okay to do that, right? Hey, if I were to be in public and I were to be spouting some anti-Sodomite things, would they not want to come and talk to me and say, hey, listen, you're being very offensive, you're hurting my feelings, here's my therapist bill? Would they not do that? And everybody would sit there on the internet and go, yay! Hey, listen, we have certain expectations when you're running your mouth in public. I ain't saying nothing against for having free speech. I'm for having responsible speech. And it's okay for us to have boundaries, and it's okay for us to declare those boundaries. You know, when I was running the office there over at Paragon, that was it. You don't say that not in here. You don't do that in here. Well, let me talk to your manager. All right, go ahead. Well, what did you? Why said this? This? Well, you swore at him, and as the property manager, if you swear at him, he's got the right to ban you from the office, do all sorts of things. So don't do that. You know, I took full advantage of it. Why? It's not about my ego. It's not about my pride. It's not about what I do or do not want to see. It's about not seeing God or hearing God's name be blasphemed. We ought to love Him with a passion. Those who know what it took to save them would not want to hear the Lord's name taken in vain. While there are laws protecting our names from slander and a way for us to take people to court for such things, well, why should we not be able to protect the name of the Lord? There's a seriousness that the Lord's name should be treated with, a regard. We ought to treat it with a certain preeminence as well. The name of God is above every other name. He is the only name that truly deserves to be revered as excellent and perfect. Psalm 148, verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. And the book of Psalms is filled with such lifting up of God's name. Why? Because if you know Him, you understand. If you know Him, you see the purpose of lifting His name up. You see the perfect, the perfection of Him. We see the power of Him. His name is a holy name. Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It is a holy name. Well, it's just God, isn't it? Oh no, you go through Scripture, you see many names for God in the Hebrew. And it's beautiful. See, I've always said this about English. It's great in that it encompasses a lot of different, well, it has a lot of different inspirations. We use a lot of different words from different languages. It's great. It's kind of a neat little quilt of all different kinds of languages patched together. We use different words from different languages into ours, and we don't even know where they come from. And a lot of our rules, have you ever noticed, you ever seen those comedians, they get up and they say, well, why is dumb spelled D-U-M-B? The reason why we do that is because we're taking words and ideas from other languages. It's wonderful that way, but it's just not very in-depth. Just not very in-depth. Like, we have one word for love. Greek has five or seven. It's quite extensive, describing different things. So I'd love it if our language was a little bit more specific. But when we look at the Hebrew language, it gets downright specific with the different names that they would call God and why. There was worship in it. There was theology in the things that they would call God. It was wonderful. But today we just say God, Lord, Father. And those are wonderful. Those work just fine. But we cannot neglect the study of His names, what they mean. They are holy. The Old Testament scribes, they gave so much honor to the writing of God's name that whenever they came down to it, they would put their quills down. They would go into their private quarters and they would have a wash. Then they would put on clean clothes and come back just to write His name. And if they spelled it wrong, if it didn't come out looking as good as they thought that God's name deserved to be written as, guess what they did to the whole book? I said book, not page. Guess what they did? They threw it away. There have been more manuscripts of the Old Testament thrown away than there have been left out for production. Why? Because of the specificity, the care, the love and respect they put towards God's name. Well, isn't that a bit much? Is God. To them, it was just perfect. To them, it was just fine. I had somebody tell me one time that they used the Lord's name in vain around me one time. And I'm sure you've probably experienced this too. They use it and they look over at you and they go, oh, sorry. Now, what's the best response to that? Oh, you don't owe me an apology. You owe God an apology. It's not my name. You didn't say Matt, da 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 da. You said God, da, 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 and you owe Him an apology. And by the way, you need to be careful with that statement. And you go on, and you don't want to belabor, you don't want to be awkward, you don't want to be silly, but be solid. It's not acceptable. Why? Because God doesn't accept it. This isn't about what I'm willing to tolerate. This isn't my control over your actions. This is God's name not being blasphemed around me. His name ought to be highly exalted. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In this passage, the Hebrew word for God is plural. It speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it conveys the unity of the Trinity. Isn't that neat? Most folks, they just skip Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the... And we move on. But if you stop and you drill into that name that they use there for God, you see the plurality in there. Genesis 14:18 exalts the name of God when it references Him as the Most High God. God identifies Himself as I Am in Exodus 3:14 and said unto Moses, I am that I am. This name of God tells us God is self-existent and sovereign. He is not created, but He is the eternal God. The name Lord emphasizes God's power, omnipotence, and His nearness to us. Psalm 139, verse 7. Absolutely love this passage of scripture. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The more you study the names of God, the more you see the preeminence of his name. What else would I call someone who could do such things and who has a love for me and a love I don't deserve and a care for me that goes beyond reason? The more I study his names and the more I pair his names with the things that he has done, the more I'm going to want to protect it. Why does God give us this particular commandment that thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? The answer is so simple, we sometimes miss it. God has commanded us to protect his name because he wants his name to be holy and sacred. God is holy. He is sovereign. Thus his name is worthy of respect and honor. We must protect his name from many a common assault nowadays. One of the biggest assaults that God's name has is denial. He's not real. What he says isn't true. He thinks that, this is what you guys may think about God, but maybe you're wrong. Maybe all the gods are the same God. Well, listen, I have studied other religions, and I'm going to tell you, those are different people. And you look at the people who study those religions, and they look at my religion, and they'll sit there and say, no, these are two different people. Now you get some lackadaisical armchair theologian who's got himself a fancy degree from general religion knowledge there at the college. And he's going to sit there and say, well, they're all pretty much the same. I tell you what, maybe you go to a different college. Maybe you study a little bit harder. They're not. Well, there can't be a God because science. Well, science has not done a pretty good job of declaring where we've begun. They've not done a pretty good job of cementing anything into really clear detail as to our origins. And we are always finding things of deeper complexities about ourselves that in turn could be almost impossible for us to do it. I was studying something earlier this week. It was about sonar. You know, bats and dolphins and whales, they use that sonar, that echolocation, to find themselves. Think about how complex that is and how special that is. What an accident, right? What an accident. And what a handy accident. Bats that didn't know how to do that would have crashed into the sides of the caves and died, right? What a very handy thing for them to learn. Whales and dolphins and things in the ocean that use it, they'd be lost. They'd have no food. They would starve without it. So it is a very good thing that whatever fish started developing, it decided to develop it. Or else by the time it got as big as a whale, how lost it would have been. And again, animals that cannot eat, they can't do what? They can't reproduce. Means no baby things that know sonar, right? It would have been a mess. We need to stand up and defend God's name from denial. We don't think it exists. We don't think he's real. We don't think it's possible. Whether you think something exists or not doesn't matter. Whether you believe it's there or not doesn't change the fact that it is. There's a lot of people in jail right now. I didn't know it was a law. And guess what? We still held them accountable for it. You may not believe there is a God. You may, or whatever. It's hard to say in a group like this in Sunday school, but there may be people out there who don't believe in God. But in the end, they're going to stand in front of him. And they won't be able to get too much of a squeak out about it, but they may want to protest all they want. I didn't know you were real. I didn't know you were real. He left every opportunity for them to know. So we need to protect his name from denial. How do we do that? Well, hey, listen, one of the best ways a Christian can protect God's name from denial is live a Christian life. Sometimes I think, I'm just going to rephrase this, a bad Christian is an atheist's best friend. A bad Christian is an atheist's best friend. When you're out there getting drunk and high acting a fool and running around on your wife, and you're out there doing all these things, and then, hey, you guys want to come to church on Sunday? Can you just go ahead and put on the wig and a big red nose and all that white makeup, please, because you're a clown. All right, let's be honest. Hey, every Christian has their struggle, but come on. When you're being unnecessarily mean and evil towards people, when you're doing terrible things, when you're committing heinous sins, and then you're sitting there holding yourself, your head up high on a Sunday morning going, look at all these sinners who ain't as good as me, you go ahead and borrow the wig and the nose from the other guy because you're a clown too. We need to be good Christians. We need to obey God's word to the book. I mean, to the letter. We need to obey God's word. We need to follow after him. We need to have a loving and warm spirit. We need to be forgiving and not those that gossip, not those that are quick to judge, not those who are quick to be mean, but people who are quick to forgive and quick to teach and quick to give the gospel. That's what we need. We need good people. Because I tell you what, we've done, I say we editorially, you know, Christians have done more damage to God's name than any atheist ever has. Any evolution-believing scientist has nothing. Every one of them has nothing on a Christian who pretends to love God but acts like the devil. So the best way we can do it is act right. The next thing we've got to do is we've got to teach the Word of God. We've got to teach it. We got to preach it. We got to be noisy about it. All right? Silence has done us no favors. That is what has marked the modern era of Baptist. Silence. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to bother anybody. We don't want to talk about doctrine anymore. And it gets to the point to now we're spitting out generations that have no knowledge of biblical doctrine. And we wonder why. Oh, we got to preach it. We got to teach it. We got to talk about it in the house. We got to talk about it out in public. We got to have conversations like that. I don't like to debate people, but I like to have a good conversation with folks. If we can sit there and be nice and calm and have a good conversation, I'm your guy. But I hate these people that get red in the face and they're insulting each other and you're this and you're that, or you're sitting there and you're renting tickets or selling tickets to the debate between these two guys. No, but I love a good conversation over coffee. Let's have some conversation over biblical doctrine. Let's be a little we call it apologetics when we defend the Bible. Hey, let's be that way. Let's be the folks that know. Let's be the folks that can prove. And not just with their words, but again, with their whole lives. Mark 3:22, and the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. Right? They came back, they had a denial towards Christ. This can't be him. And again, what is that? That's blasphemy. Matthew 12:31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Mark 3:28, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that should blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. People blaspheme the Holy Spirit. People blaspheme the Son. People blaspheme the Father. We need to be ones to stand up and say, you need to knock that off. You need to knock that off. Exodus 20, verse 7, again, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless. There's no way to do it and come out, oops. That seems to be a very common thing for people. It was an accident. I had no choice but to do this. There's this cop, I can't remember what state he's in, but he'll post a video every Friday of him going out and making stops that week. There was a guy going 121 miles per hour in a 50. That's quick. He went to jail, by the way. You wonder why he went to jail? Because the cop didn't believe his excuse, right? See, that's not it, but that's what we like to think. And so what was his excuse? I needed to get home fast. Why? I just needed to get home. Now, that excuse, did it fail? Or maybe was it we did something wrong, and what we did wrong, we were being held accountable for? Because sometimes we think, if I can explain it in just a way, oh, no, I just slipped out. Oh, you know what? I forgot. No, you're not guiltless. There's no way to be guiltless of it when you do it. And we see here also a possibility of an unforgiveness. We see there that it can be unforgiven. We looked at this before. You can't blaspheme and get away with it. There's going to be consequences. And I tell you what, if you care about people the way we ought to care about people, we ought to want to make sure that they're not laying stuff like that up to their charge. We want to make sure that's not sitting down their ledger somehow. So again, we need to make sure that we are fighting against denial in every way that we possibly can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We love your name. Lord, we're grateful for everything that you've done. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in defending it. Lord, help us to stand strong in being those that lift your name high and praise and worship and adore it as we're going to look at. Lord, please help us to defend your name and love you and show that love in our defense of you, Lord, in our promotion of you. Lord, again, we are thankful for everything you've done. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.